we got these new things. And I'm like, staple gun. Duct tape it. Staple it into my neck. Oh my God, Chris, sorry. Murdering someone for your ear thing. Oh my God. We're going to have to staple this in my fucking head. Oh my God. Hey, hey, what is going to happen? Nolan North here at Retro Replay, and it's October 15th, 2020. We made it this far, slowly creeping up onto 2021. Know how many people are so sick and tired of 2020? They're ready for 2021 as if, like, all the shit that's going on follows our calendar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like January 1st, it's magically everything's going to be better.
Yeah.
It's not going to be better, kids. It's not. Dr. Fauci told me so.
Yeah. It's New Year's Eve this year is going to be crazy because everybody's like, when it hits midnight, the coronavirus will just go away.
Yeah. And midnight, no. Everybody, condoms off, tongues out, let's do this shit. And then, like, February, by Valentine's Day, it's like, everyone's dead. I'm Chris Cuomo. My teeth are fantastic. Everyone's dead. By the way, this isn't a political thing. They're all kind of dicks. I can say that because I was in journalism. Got out, though. They tried to pull me back in. I don't even know where I'm going with this, but it's... What's going on? You know what? I wanted to talk... We haven't talked about this. This is a couple weeks old, but I've been looking for a new car, Drew, and I don't know what I want. Everybody keeps saying, oh, no, you know what? You got to have, like, electric cars. I'm thinking about going electric for my next vehicle.
Yeah, you should.
I'm thinking about it. I think it's, people say it's responsible, and yet, so I have a little problem with it, okay? So recently, Governor Newsom of California announced that by 2035, combustion engines that use gas or petrol, you know, as they say, diesel, anything, a combustion engine, they're no longer sold in California. However, you can drive across the border to any other state, buy one, and bring it back and register it. So it's not illegal to drive one. You just can't buy one right. In the state. Right? Right? I mean, that was Paul Both off camera going with a big, psh, which is pretty much, that would be my editorial. That was the editorial line. Back to you. That would be it.
Back to you.
That would be it.
But I mean, I think it's a good statement, though, right? I mean, it's thinking, because eventually everything should be electric.
Yeah, but here's the problem in California. They're doing random power outages because of, you know, everything's on fire here. And it's usually PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, and they're transformers that, like, explode in the middle of the forest while some bear is, like, getting berries going, is it hot? And next thing you know, half the national forest goes up like a tinderbox. So it's strange that, yeah, we can go away from that stuff. I love it. It's environmentally conscious, sort of, because apparently you have to, there's so many different sides.
Yeah.
Like, I guess making these batteries, you have to go and dig and so for different kind of thing. Nobody's going to be happy until everyone's just walking. But I never know what the deal is. It's like, you know, combustion engine, electric, what the difference is going to be, because then people say, well, no, you know, then where do you dispose of the batteries? I say shoot them into space. I don't see why that's not a big deal. I mean, the people like, the universe is infinite. Garbage. Off the planet. Let's go. You know, no more of the sea turtles. I get my plastic straws. You remember that last week. I get my plastic straws back. You know, there's no, like, penguins choking on friggin' bottle caps and plastic shit. Shoot that up in space. Sewage. Send all the fecal matter to the moon. or further. Big. I think it's really cold in outer space, right? It's going to freeze. Shit-teroids. That's what it is. Or actually, no. Ready? Now I know why they call them asteroids.
That's terrible.
Pee-pee. Frozen pee-pee. Shoot it off.
No.
Yes, send it all to Uranus, right? That's where shit belongs, in Uranus.
Oh, man.
This, by the way, this is not planned, but Drew, it's kind of genius.
It's terrible.
You kids know. Garbage, shit, pee-pee. Live long and prosper.
We need Superman.
Outer space is gonna smell a little bit, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Only if you're outside the suit.
This is Voyager 1. We're ready to drop off the poo-poo.
Here it comes. Constellation Orion.
Telling you, missions to Mars to just like, hey, we want to fertilize the planet. Oh God, you know what?
Yeah, grow some potatoes.
If I knew, I would call someone. If I knew who to call,
yeah.
Just to let them know that this. I think I may have
idea.
Just solved the world. Oh my God! Well, no global warming. No, all the styrofoam, it's gone.
I'm gonna be the nerd here. You realize the amount of energy it takes just to go to space would offset the amount of garbage you'd be able to send to space. Like it doesn't, there's the net, it doesn't equal.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
You don't know that. you get all those bags into like one big bag, a rocket shoots off, it trails along, looks like a penis with detached balls, just a sack, and they do a loop. You don't even have to go to space and stay. You just go a loop and you just let it go at the right time. It flings it off into space. And then they come right back down, pick up the next load.
What happens when like one of those rockets explodes? And does that just put shit everywhere into the atmosphere?
You know what? What's all these rockets are probably going out of Florida, and no one's going to notice. Wow!
So you're still buying an electric car. The moral
back to
story.
The electric car. So on top of that news, Tesla says by 2023 they're going to have a Tesla under $25,000. By under $25,000 of much more affordable stuff. So that's great. There's all kinds of other great electric cars coming out. I get it. Could be cool, and they go super fast. But I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of different cars, and I don't know what my next one is. I'm just gonna like. I might wait for my kid to go away to college and just drive his. Why have an extra car payment?
Yeah.
Saving money, kids. It's what you do. Steal from your children. Drew sent me this. It's a couple of monkeys having sex while standing on a woman's knee in the forest. Talk about being the third wheel. I mean,
oh my God.
I mean, come on.
That's so good. Look on that girl's face. Poor.
Okay, monkeys have a reputation for this kind of thing. I don't know what it is. I don't know if maybe they're just exhibitionists or whatever, but this is a true story. My wife, when she was little, went to the St. Louis Zoo, I guess, just like with a field trip, and just she told me the story like this. Just monkey was there and just plopped down in front of all these little kids and just started whacking it. No, seriously, like I'm not making this up. Just started whacking it right in front of the glass. And the teachers started to get them all like, oh, and they're laughing and watching everything. And all of a sudden, and the monkey's just sitting there and never changed his expression. Just one of those little not a monkey, is like a whatever, like the little gibbon thing. I was like, you know, the ones with the little underbite. And it's just going to town on itself. She said, and as they're ushering them out, kids, kids, go. And the kids are laughing and some are screaming. And the monkey never changed expressions like this. And then just, what? Ejaculated all over the window. All over the glass at the zoo. That's true. And I would have been back at that zoo every week. Where's the horny monkey?
Yeah,
where's the crazy little gibbon who runs around?
I was in a
you know, they're not, monkeys are not like horse, you know, they're not he's just feverishly working, but just I love the fact that she said he just had this Richard McGonagall kind of look.
I was in Cape Town, and there's the southernmost point of Cape Town, which is like the lowest place you can be in.
Yep.
Africa.
The lowest geographically, or like depressing?
Lowest geographically.
Lowest part, I was
so low. No, but we're driving in and there's like baboons everywhere. And we're driving in and there's this baboon on the top of this like van as we're driving to the parking lot. And he's just taking the largest shit down the back window of this van. I was just like, oh my God. Can you imagine getting back to your car and it just like just defecate? Yeah, someone, you know, just defecated all over your window.
We know that simians, these that apes and monkeys and chimpanzees, they're incredibly intelligent, Maybe they're just like, hey, I got an idea how to get us out of here. What do you want to do, Larry? I'm going to shit on the window. I think they might let us out. If we say, it's like, and where's Tex, the little gibbon? I want you to go just pound it. Pound it in front of the school kids. Just, you know, maybe they're all getting together going, let's get out of here. Let's get back to, you know, where we want to be. I just, the idea that this tiny little monkey just like, with this, like I keep thinking about the monkey that was in the James Bond movie where it ends up, or like Apu. I think of any of the little monkeys because he basically ejaculated his body weight. You know, it's like there's not that much liquid in that monkey. He should be a monkey suit at this point.
Just flouse.
Like he ejaculated his own organs at this point. It's like, I don't know.
Oh man.
Retro replay.
Yeah.
We're animal lovers here.
We love monkeys.
We love we love animals. We love animals that love themselves even more. Okay, that's that. Before we get to Cat in the Hat, let's talk to my co-star, my good buddy, and a guy who's been on The Simpsons. I mean, this guy, genius, and we kind of came up together. I'm the fish, he's the cat, Chris Edgerly. Edge!
Yo.
What's up, buddy?
How's it going? Not bad.
I like the hat. Just a little flat cap action today.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, you're partially the inspiration for this. I think you did the Chuck and Stacy, their VO.
Oh, yeah.
VO Buzz Weekly. Yeah.
Yeah, and I had
you did
that on
a couple of years ago. You had a flat cap on it, and I used to have a flat cap. And I thought, I think I need to bust mine out again. And so I started rocking them again because I got, see, you have a hairline, and I don't. Mine's, I got the Jason Statham that I'm rocking.
It's a very good one, though,
Jason
isn't
Statham. Yeah, it's not bad. You know, you just got to keep working out. If you got no hair, you got to work out and kick people in the face.
See, everybody knows about the spin kick.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, and I noticed Statham's rocking the flat caps. I thought, all right, fine. I'm pasty. I'm bald. All right, flat caps it is. So.
You know what? I think that's the new advertisement for it. I like the flat cap. I remember one time, so Chris and I have known each other for years. Kind of came up together through the VO ranks because of our agent, Pat Brady. And one of our favorite things back in the day before we could actually, audition from home and work from home now, we used to drive down and sit at our agency to wait to audition for something like 2-3 hours. We'd have lunch there. We'd hang out.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we would just do bits back and forth all day.
Yeah, I mean, this is when they would print the copy out for you. I mean, sometimes you'd walk in with your own printout. I usually just had them print it out there. I'd look at it for 5 seconds, and then I would set it down because I would read the room. If I walked in and saw you there, if I saw Quentin Flynn, John Mariano, Phil Tanzini, I thought, I've prepped enough. And then I would just sit down, and it was like a green room. It was just all the comments flying fast and furious because we knew we were going to have time. Things moved glacially back then.
Yes. Very well put. It was unbelievable. I mean, we used to, you and I remember we thought about, we should do a show called On the Marble because the foyer at the agency, it just was this big marble and people come out going, these people are being too loud and we just get in trouble. But I mean, you know, I remember Jason Connery was a client there and Chris and I would be just doing dueling Connerys. Do you remember? Right.
Yes, I remember. As weird as we could possibly go, and then you have John Mariano, improv genius, taking it from there.
Yes. Yeah. But we had Sean Connery, had he never made it. It's like, Sean, how'd it go? Well, boys, I just came from Disney. Fingers crossed. I'm up for a role of the butler in an episode of The Cheetah Girls with Raven Simone. Now, there is a challenge. I mean, it was amazing. We used to go back and forth all the time. And he's talking about John Mariano actually did the greatest Mickey.
Burgess Meredith. Yeah.
Hey, do the thing. Remember, like the Irish.
Yeah.
I once threw an Irishman off a roof. They're a dirty people.
And then, it didn't matter what you would hand him. He would take it and go. And my problem was I would start to laugh. And as soon as I started going, Nolan would notice that. And he'd say, oh, well, I have to ramp it up a bit.
Blood
to make
in the water.
Chris possibly faint. Yeah. Yeah. And that's how we came up with On the Marble, because inside the agency's waiting room, it was carpet. They had that space as their own. Mm-hmm. And if you were on the carpet, you had to adhere to the agency's rules. On the marble, it was the building. They had nothing to do with that. We could sit on the marble and do whatever we felt like. And so that's where we thought, all right, fine, on the marble, we can make whatever jokes we want. They can't do anything about it.
Yeah, well, they would kick us out because we're the carpeted section. That they would just kick us out. But since then, you've gone on to do, we started out, we did a lot of games, and I'm actually, I went back through some of the catalogs, and I want to see if you remember some. So, Cat in the Hat, when that movie came out, you doubled Mike Myers, right, and were the cat.
I was the cat.
And I did a form of Sean Hayes, which, to be the goldfish, wasn't much of a Sean Hayes, but it was close enough.
It was better than everybody else's, apparently.
Apparently. We did Dragons, Riders of Berk, and all the series together.
Yeah.
We're taking the scenic route.
Right now, my lunch is taking the scenic route into my throat.
That looks angry. Why don't you do that thing where you touch its nose and feed it grass?
Yep. And we did the game. I think we did the game first, because that's where they were like, oh, you guys do those, right?
Yeah, I remember doing a game. It might have been more than one game. What I remember from doing the game is going to DreamWorks, going down into the basement where they have their recording studio.
It's not a basement. It's a bunker. It's like seven stories underground.
Yeah, and it's this marvelous studio. But as I was waiting my turn, I think it was Doug McGrath was finishing up doing the recording for the Penguins of Madagascar. He was doing he's the lead penguin in Madagascar.
Captain.
It's his... hysterical. Yeah. And I thought, I fanboyed. I mean, I didn't say anything, but I just couldn't believe it. It was like, oh my God, that is one of the penguins. And it sometimes is lost on us that we're doing these things that people sometimes fan out over. And yet, if you put me in the room with the right person, I lose it. Yeah, I just go, oh, I can't believe that's that person. It didn't mean anything to me. You know, it just didn't matter that I was about to go record a game. It's like, no, I was watching another guy that I loved. So,
We talk about that a lot. Like, you know, people, we fanboy out over each other's stuff. I mean, that was that's the thing that, like, we're saying about On the Marble. I mean, those guys, I mean, it was hysterical. I mean, just you'd people come in and you're like, these Kevin Michael Richardson, Fred Tatasciore, who people love.
Yeah.
I mean, still the greatest thing that ever happened at that agency was when Fred walked in on a hot day, dripping in sweat, and he had to go sign in. His long hair is in his face.
Sweaty even for Fred.
And it was Sean Donnellan.
Yeah.
Busy morning burying cheerleaders in the backyard, Fred. And everybody laughed, and he, perfect timing, he just turned, he flipped his hair back. He's like, well, it is Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it broke me. And I think you and I bolted out the door because we were laughing so hard. Yeah. We were going to. Anyway, but what we did a ton of games.
Well, I remember doing Resistance 2 with you, and we had to do performance capture, but that's a game that I remember for two reasons. One, I remember Jerry Lansing. I was introduced to the character of Jerry Lansing. Every time we'd have to do the T-pose at the end of a scene, I'd hear more Jerry Lansing. Yeah. And then
what's the other thing? Tell them what Jerry did that day.
Well, I don't remember the specifics, but Nolan was not there for the end of the game.
It's the only job I've ever been fired from. Resistance 2. And who's actually the replayers here will remember. Robin Atkin-Downs told the story. And TJ Fixman has told the story, who was the writer on Resistance, who's now still a buddy of mine. So what happened is Chris went to the bathroom, and we were playing these soldiers, and the director, this British guy, came over, and he goes, told me what to do. He said, where's Chris? I said, he just ran to the bathroom, and he goes, okay, well, just tell him when he gets back, you're going to go here, going to do that. You get to that point, you direct him over there, and then you go there, and then he ends up on that spot. Can you tell him that? I said, yeah, no problem. So Chris comes back, and I've been doing Jerry Lansing, which is my kind of over-the-top character. I'm the king of mocap, and he's just this... It's Ted Knight from Caddyshack meets William Shatner.
Yeah.
He's just this pompous, you know, just goofy character I made up.
Cross species breeding this weekend.
Right.
Chris comes back and I said, all right, listen. When he yells action, we're going to go there together. I'm going to signal to you there. Then I'm going to move there and you end up there. Got it? And I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were like, I don't need to listen to you. I only listen to the director. And I said, well, screw the director. He doesn't know anything. You're going to listen to me. And I did it in that kind of voice. When they were editing stuff, they brought that audio to the director. And he thought I was being serious. And I was taken to Fuddruckers and fired.
Taken to Fuddruckers?
They took me to Fuddruckers in Burbank, California, and said, yeah, you know, they just felt it was, you know, not, it was disrespectful. And I said, I was doing a voice. And they, well, yeah, we know. But you know what I found out later, though? That guy was on eggshells anyway. And so it was kind of a...
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
And I felt so weird about that, too. I thought, you know, we're all having fun here. Everybody's joking and having a good time.
That's
what
makes it better.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like the class clown. The class clown is the one who knows when to shut up when the teacher walks back in the room, and it's the last guy talking that gets nailed. It's like, but you didn't say, he just dropped his pants 10 seconds ago. Well, he's in his desk quietly doing his work, whereas you are throwing spitballs at the cheerleaders out the window. It's like, fine. Yeah. Well, I mean, shortly after that, you became Nathan Drake, so you kind of landed on your feet.
Things went well.
Yeah, you didn't exactly hit Skid Row, you know.
No, it wasn't. No. But it was. Remember, we used to do that. Daedalus. There was an older actor on the set, and he had never done mocap, and he just was. If you could take the stereotypical old man from Central Casting and make him like one of the leads in the game, he was just like, but what about this? And he had to go, and he had this one line where he's like, well, who was it? And he's supposed to go, Daedalus. And instead he would go, who was it? Daedalus! And he kept saying it he'd scream it. And you were like, in what version of you reading the script do you do that? Everything's fine, and then Daedalus! It was like he was startled, and it had no context to the scene. It was crazy. Speaking of landing on your feet, Chris Edgerly of Simpsons fame. Let's talk a little bit about how that came to be.
It's basically just they have me fill in the gaps. I mean, they have an extremely talented cast, but it's all kinds of characters coming in and out. Sometimes stuff they mix into the crowd. Sometimes it's an ancillary person that comes in for a line or two.
How old are you?
8.
Plebeian.
I'm there for the table reads, you know. It's just characters that come and go. I fill in the cracks. I round out the edges. I think of myself as a Swiss Army knife. Whatever they happen to need for any particular episode, that's what I am. And 90% of my career has been Swiss Army knife, where I fill in the gaps, you know, usually not the lead. I'm there. I'm that Love Boat guest star. It's like, wait, wasn't he on? Yeah, he was on 5 shows in the 60s and 2 in the 70s. And this is how he's getting his P&H contribution.
Right. Well, he grew a mustache. So now he's a different character.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I get to do. I get to be a part of the greatest show that's ever existed. And I get these marvelous little one-liners here and there. Just, you know, fun ways to be a part of a fantastic show is the way I like to look
at it. How long have you been on it now?
This is my 11th season. I have done 200 and some episodes. So yeah, it's been a lot.
And do they give you your own bank for all the money? Because I heard Harry Shearer and Tress MacNeille and Julie Kavner, all, you know, they all got their own bank because the money that The Simpsons basically makes you can't just put it in like a Wells Fargo or Chase. So do they, and is it a local branch near you?
Yeah.
I get a mortgage refinance through you?
Yes. I am not Harry Shearer. I am not Tress MacNeille. I get the Chris Edgerly plan, which is more than fair, which I'm very happy with. But yes, I don't think I quite qualify for my own bank. So I have no complaints though.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I think if you need some new representation, I probably can work something out. I do take 35%.
Yeah. Oh, well, sure thing, Colonel Tom. Let's talk afterwards.
Oh, an Elvis reference. Okay, so Not only that, I know that, you know, I came on your podcast and did your show.
Yeah.
Thank you for returning the favor.
Absolutely.
So you did Apex.
Apex Legends. Yeah, I've got some of their swag
Pathfinder.
Here with me. Yeah. I am Pathfinder in Apex Legends.
Are we clear?
This is my favorite part. Exciting.
So you got I've seen you. You actually play. Character. Like, how are you doing that? Because I am terrible.
Not well. No, I suck. I suck. It is an extremely competitive game. I just streamed before I came on with you. I play with my subscribers every Friday. So they hop into a match with me and they take me through the game. And, you know, we do as well as we can do, but you're playing against people all over the world. And it's a battle royale, first person shooter. And it's extremely, to use gaming parlance, extremely sweaty. There are a lot of really high caliber players that just play it for 8 or 10 hours a day. And they just melt me when I come across them. And it's frustrating sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little frustrating, but
do they know it's
it
you?
Has become. Yeah.
They know it's you, though.
No, I don't think so, because I have a gamer tag. My gamer tag is the Edge Voice. And even if it was Chris Edgerly, I don't think they know. A lot of them, they know what the voice sounds like, but they don't put two and two together. They're busy. They're going so fast. It's just dead, and off they go. They just don't even bother.
And
so
it's a massive online multiplayer game, right?
Yes. Well, what ended up happening actually last week is I was gaming Apex with a couple of other people, a couple of streamers. And one of them knows the game pretty well. And there's a pro team called TSM. I think it's Team Solo Mid. And they have an entire roster of pro players. And there was an Apex tournament about to happen that weekend. So we got into a match, and I managed to do some damage, but I got wiped out by this guy who's a pro player, because when his name came up as the guy who waxed me and my entire party, somebody on the chat said, "Oh my God, that's TSM Albrelli," and I think that's his name. A pro player killed me in the match, and he was streaming it. And so suddenly, a bunch of people from his stream start coming over to my stream telling me, "Hey, guess who you just got killed by?" And I sort of said, "Oh, well, I guess that's an honor. I have no idea who anyone is in this world." But they actually recognized my gamer tag and said, "Oh, tell him he just killed the voice of Pathfinder." And he, like, DM'd me on Twitter and said, "Sorry."
Cool. That's like,
yeah, I know, it's kind of cool. I got killed by a pro.
That's like going into a bar and having Mike Tyson knock you out in the bathroom. He's like, "Hey."
Yeah, my joke was I managed to do a little bit of damage to him, but I said, "That's kind of like bragging that you sucker punched Conor McGregor and then he broke your neck, you know." "Why'd you just do that, man?"
It's like, "I got a spitball."
Yeah, exactly.
Shit.
So, yeah, I know.
It's been a long
road.
Well, but here we are. We're still kicking.
Yeah, here we are.
You know, somebody was saying the other day that they said, "What do you think the key to, like, you know, being in this business and longevity?" And I was like, "It's perseverance. You know, if you hang around long enough, somebody usually lets you do something." I mean, if you can figure out a way to hang around long enough.
We get asked this a lot. I'm sure you get asked this a lot. How do you get into the business? How do you persevere in the business? How do you, in other words, people want to know, how do I have what you have? And this is the same thing we used to talk about outside of the building, not even on the marble, outside of CESD. We'd say, you know, we just hang around, man. We just hang around long enough. Yeah. We're going to get our shot. And that is literally what happened. We hung around. It's not like if you suck and you hang around, you're going to get stuff. You might get a chance, but you've got to work on your craft and make sure you're continuously trying to improve.
Oh, yeah, agreed.
I mean, you were taking acting classes the whole time we were having these conversations.
Actually,
and you were working.
That turned out that was that guy behind the supermarket. He was not in acting class. And he was like, nude kabuki is the new hot thing. I don't know why. He taught me that. It was called Cardboard Box Theater. And he was gentle.
For some reason, CAA never made it to my showcase out behind Ralph's. But
So what's next? Are you just, is it just the Simpsons juggernaut keeps rolling?
Hopefully forever. Yeah. You know, we continuously record new stuff for Apex. I have another game coming out for Respawn, Medal of Honor. They're bringing back Medal of Honor.
No kidding.
Above and Beyond. Yes, it is a VR game. It'll be virtual reality. I will definitely be trying that on my stream, doing the virtual reality streaming, which I've never done before. But yes, it is an immersive, completely immersive World War II game. And I play Sarge, who is the exact opposite of Pathfinder. Pathfinder in Apex Legends is this. He's very happy and oblivious, whereas Sarge is basically a guy around my age in World War II about to storm the beaches at Normandy. That kind of guy right there.
Yeah. You know what? You look defeated and beaten down by life.
Worn down by life. Yeah, that's pretty much.
It was, you know, that's actually one of my favorite things I did. Call of Duty Big Red One. I think it was an Xbox exclusive. I was Sergeant Randall storming Omaha Beach.
Wow.
Follow me. And it was one of those, what did we used to call it? Bloodthroat. Remember it was just a screaming games when you and I first started. Yeah.
Yep.
Most people don't know this. Like voiceover act, people are like, I want to be into voiceover and get into gaming. It's like when Chris and I started, we were like, honestly, we really were the early people who like, hey, do you want to come scream for 4 hours for about $700? I think it was $792 with scale.
I think it was like, $556 when I was doing it in 04 and 05, 03, 04, 05.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right. 556. It was 556, 84. Yep. Something changed. Something weird.
Something, yeah, and change, which we needed every penny of.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
I counted in 2005. It was the best year I ever had for games. I did 21 games in 2005, and I died in every single one of them. It is what I call a young man's game. You want to do the Bloodthroats? Be my guest. But after a while, you're going to get your voices become. It's going to become a little more textured, and you're going to. You're going to want to pull back a little bit.
You're going to sound like an old woman from Lake Ronkonkoma, New York. Like, go down to the store and get me some Tarrytons.
Yeah, I want some True Blue 100. The guy will know.
Don't.
He'll know.
Yeah. That was my grandmother. Go get me Parliaments. The guy will know.
I was a child going to pick up cigarettes. I was the exact same kid, 8 years old. My grandmother, from her couch in the early throes of emphysema, I want True Blue 100s and some peppermints. Okay.
my grandmother, she's like black licorice and cigarettes. I was like, I can't kiss you anymore. No more kisses from Nanny because your breath stinks.
And then when you get back, you can have an ice cream sandwich from the freezer.
But she was good because... She also thought ice cream cost $20, and she'd be like, here, go get an ice cream. I'm like, oh, my God, I am rich. It's 1981, and I am going to go buy a whore. I have $20. I'm going to get bubblegum, two packs of baseball cards and some hard candy, and then I have $19 for that woman who lives behind the shed.
Believe me. I am so old that there was a Woolworths down the street from us, and they still had a counter where you could get a sundae inside the Woolworths. Inside the Woolworths, they had a counter with the guy, like in a white coat, who would fix you a sundae that you would sit at a bar stool at the Woolworths. I thought, what is this, 1926? You know, but they still had that left over.
That's been replaced by Walmart. Woolworths. Yeah. And now it's the Walmart. Oh, here's a funny story that happened this morning. I was talking to my mom when I was driving to the studio, and she told me this story, and I thought, you guys will like this. I thought about how, you know, that old thing where they say, hey, you start in diapers, you end up in diapers. Ha, ha, ha. She actually said this. I said, how's dad? She said, he's great. You know, he's doing really well. He went into Walmart all by himself yesterday. I drove him, of course. And I burst out laughing. She's like, what? I'm like, that sounds like something you said to a six-year-old. He's like, he went into the store all by himself. He's a big boy. I drove him, of course. But that's what happened. I mean, thank God they got to the age where it's just like, how was your day? Very exciting. Got to go to the store by myself. It's like, wow. I just pictured my dad on one of those little mechanical horses out front. Going, I'm a cowboy today.
Woo! Sir, you can't wear that gun in the store. It's a toy. No, it's not.
It's a toy. Sir, you're gonna need to wear pants in the store. Why do you think I'm here? Yeah. I don't have any goddamn pants.
All right, I'll take those. I'll have a shine for my shoes.
Sir, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Sir, you're wearing canvas shoes. Ah, shine them, f***er. I don't know. It's terrible.
This is, I just get to the point where dads at our age, our dads, I think, basically just are compiling a list of gripes. Just a list of people that they have a personal gripe against, you know?
Well, nobody.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And my father, nobody has enjoyed the pandemic more than my father. Because my father went from being just completely antisocial to the most socially responsible man in his community. He actually said this. You're going to love this too. He actually said, can't get COVID from the cigars next to my chair. That was what he said. Can't get COVID, you know? And I was like, because that's all he does. It goes from bed to toilet to chair to indoor chair to toilet.
Believe me.
To chair to toilet. To kitchen, toilet. That's like
chair, toilet.
He's like, if I could get a big screen in view of the toilet.
We're just gonna install a toilet in the chair. Dad, here you go.
Unfortunately, sometimes we need to get a new chair, if you know what I mean.
My dad was basically a prepper. Not quite, but he had. I bet if I had called him up and said, Dad, I'm catching the last flight out of L.A. It's all burning down and we need about 6 months of dry goods. He'd say, OK, I'm going to give you the password for the gate, because he lived on 5 acres in Hill Country in Texas. And then he finally said, no, to hell with this. I'm done with that. Then he moved up to Oregon and now he's basically on the beach in Oregon. Like if we just got on the PCH here.
Yep.
And followed it for about 3 days, you would eventually get to my dad's house.
He'd just be standing there out front.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
My
dad would not be a doomsday prepper. My dad's probably a lot like me. If there was like a zombie apocalypse, he would walk up and just bite me. I don't want to run. I have no interest in running.
My dad's got about 15 guns. And he trained snipers for Vietnam, so he knows how to use them. So if you get within a mile and he smells you upwind, you better start zigzagging.
It's like, hey, what's that red dot? What is that?
Yeah.
Thump.
What is a revenue? Yeah.
Get these hippies off my land, sir. You're at the mall. That is not cool.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty
much. I'm gonna let you go. Thanks for catching up with us. We'll post up all of Chris's where you can find him on the Twitters, the Instagrams, his Twitch channel. Check out Edge Voice. YouTube.
Twitch and YouTube and Twitter. That's it. That's all I do. I triangulate those.
You triangulate those. Right.
That's it. Instagram means you have to take pictures, and I can't be bothered with that. I'm
not good at the Instagram. I tried, but like I'm like, wait, yeah, I have to take a picture or video for everything I do? They're like, yeah, no.
Yeah, and Facebook I got off in 2016 because I couldn't stand to hear another one of these. I'll tell you what's wrong with the world. All right, well, you go work that out and I'm done with you.
There's a bunch of people that, hey, let's connect on Facebook. And I'm like, I really don't remember you. We've known each other a long time and the fact that we're still talking to each other is proof that we must be friends, because genuinely we hate most people outside our family. And I think that's what keeps you going. It's just sort of like,
I'm like you. I love to work and I actually love being around people, but there's a limit. And then I want to go back to my little place and I don't want to be bothered. And I don't want to be with my kids, my wife. I'll be friendly to everybody. But at a certain point, my wife told me this too, pre-pandemic. She says, even when we have your friends over, at a certain point, you get up and leave the room. And then you come back later. I says, yeah, I need that sometimes. I just need to be away.
I need me time.
Yeah, I need
to
revisit.
Where did Chris go? He got tired of you.
Yeah. He's gonna get tired of all of you.
What does he do? He goes into this room that he's padded, it's quiet, he just sits there and he stares at foam. just like, and then Tilly just like, you know, all the training his father instilled in him about shooting people, just he has to wipe those bad thoughts away. She said, yeah, your poor wife's like, I'm on edge every day. Keeps it exciting, yeah. But I never know when my life is going to end.
Yeah, let's go with that. Go with that.
See, this is the marble, everybody. This is the snapshot. This is the snapshot
domestic life.
Of the marble. Yeah. I got to go buy a new ear because right. Clearly it's deformed in some way. It's the cauliflower ear, Rock.
What you got to do is soak them in pickle brine before every match. And remember, women weaken eardrums.
That's right.
Nikki loves you.
Nikki loves you. Buddy, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to, and when the world gets back, I want you here sitting with me or what we should do is, I know you're going to stream it on your channel too, but then come here, let's do Call of Duty and put me in a helmet. Cause I'll storm the beach.
Medal of Honor. It's Medal of Honor.
Medal of Honor. I'm jealous.
Medal of Honor, above and beyond. VR will VR it up because they will have a multiplayer where you can get in and like sniper each other.
Are you kidding? I'm not going up against you. Your father would be in your ear going, you're a bush. Yeah. You're a bush. Remember, stay like a bush.
It's all breath control. It's all breath control. He's just a meat bag. That's all he is.
A meat bag. It's like, I want you to pull that trigger between breaths. I don't know what that means. You were adopted. thank you. Chris Edgerly, laughing at what you will never see just happen.
Never love see. You all you can do is guess.
All a you pleasure. Can do is guess. See you, baby.
Yeah. All right, man.
So, guys, what we've done, if you got to see last week, we've decided to do it again. It's Replayer Battle, Replayer Feud. It's kind of our little homage, we'll call it, to Family Feud, if you know what that is. Basically, what we're going to do, what's that?
Ramble. Replayer Ramble.
Replayer Ramble makes no sense. No. Why would we call it Replayer
it's like
Ramble?
The double R. Like,
sounds good. Replayer sounds good.
Somebody rambling? Hit him.
I'm rambling.
Where's that? See, get that. You know what we need? We need a taser. We just need to tase him.
Remember when you
like
gave
that.
Me a mic? Now is that moment you regret it.
Yeah, see, we gave Drew, you can hear him, and now we're going to, Drew's kind of the off-screen nuisance. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask you each five questions, kind of like at the end of Family Feud. It's like, and we'll mark the answers. We have the answers that were given, top 100 people are surveyed, that kind of thing. We did it this way before, but I don't think it matters. Conchata gets to go first. Ladies first.
Ladies of course.
That's the way we. That's the way we work. Gentlemen, see, Scott's a gentleman. Now I don't see. She's Thank wearing the Scott. Uncle Noli. She looks lovely, and I want to root for her. But he's a gentleman now, so I don't know. Maybe I'm impartial. I'm impartial.
I can
okay.
confirm.
Jada, so we're gonna put 30 seconds on the clock.
Let's go.
Maybe. And I'm going to ask you your questions. Here we go.
Okay.
First question. Name something you find in the kitchen.
Grater.
Name something you do on a summer day.
A drink.
Name a throwback TV show that teens love to watch.
Goosebumps.
After you take a selfie, what might you do with it?
Edit it.
Name something you do when you wake up in the morning.
I check my phone.
Ding, 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 ding. I believe that's five questions, right? Did I get it right? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, I thought it was 6. I should count better. Name something you find in the kitchen. Conchata said a grater?
Yeah.
Well, I would have said grater too. But refrigerator was the number one answer. I'm afraid no one else agreed with you but me. So that's a goose egg.
That's correct.
That's a goose egg.
Okay.
Name something you do on a summer day. She said drink. Well, you know what? Nobody said drink, but they did say have friends over and all my friends drink. So 10 points to Conchata. 10 points Because, you know, if you're drinking alone on a summer day, you're me. Name a throwback TV show that teens love to watch. You said Goosebumps. And I'm sorry, nobody said Goosebumps.
No.
Nobody said Goosebumps. Good show, though. Scary, though.
It's quality.
The Office, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and Friends were the top answers. After you take a selfie, what might you do with it? She said, edit. 18 points. We're going to take that. Edit. Absolutely. And finally, name something you do when you wake up in the morning. You said, check your phone.
Yes, sir.
Number one answer. 27 yes. points for a rousing total of how many points? 55 points. Double Woo-hoo! Nickels. Double nickels. For Kinshada. Okay, Scott, 55 points.
No pressure.
No Ooh. Pressure.
You got this, man. You got this.
So here we go. Right. First question. Are you ready?
Go for it. Ready.
4 seconds on the clock. Kidding. More what? Than four. We'll give you 30. We'll give you 30. There's no clock. Let's be honest, everybody. There's no clock.
The clock is.
There's no clock. There's no clock. First question. Scott, name some place you might go thrift shopping.
UK veteran charity shop.
Name a food you can eat with your hands.
Cheeseburger.
Name a reason you might not respond to a text.
Sleeping.
Name something you never leave home without.
Clothes.
And finally, name something teens look forward to. Keep it clean.
Graduation.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay, that's it. Stop the clock. That doesn't exist. Name some, a place where you might go thrifting. He said the UK version of a charity shop. I'm going to go with that. Yes, Goodwill. 10 points.
Goodwill.
We'll put 10 points. Course. Yeah, name something you eat, a food you eat with your hands, and I was waiting for him to go a kebab. Because that you guys, that I you
mean,
know,
true,
or
but...
Kebab or a pasty. Or, and I'm like, oh, pasty. No. Though I do love those. You said burger. 18 points for Scott with Ooh. Burger.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Again, this is a British or Canadian answer on this one. Name a reason you might not respond to a text. He said sleeping.
Yeah.
No. That's the Aww. Kind, polite answer. Forgot, busy, haven't read it, not sure what to say, or don't want to talk to them. This is definitely an American survey. It's just...
Sorry.
So, you know what? I'm going to give him a half point for yes. not being so rude. name something you never leave home without. And surprisingly, they didn't say your American Express card, but that was a lot of people... That's the old marketing thing they did. You said... What did you say?
Clothes.
Clothes, right. You said clothes. No, a lot of nude people walking around.
What?
Phone is the number one answer. Keys or money.
Sorry. I've been living wrong. Sorry.
You, another goose egg. Okay, finally, he said, name something teens look forward to. Thank you so much for keeping it clean. I appreciate it.
Of course.
And his answer was graduation. Number one answer was prom. But the number two answer, graduation with 21,
yes!
21 for a grand total of 49.5. Because I'm going to give you another half point.
It.
That's 50. But Kinshada from Knoxville, Tennessee, she takes the title.
Nice. Well done.
You guys win nothing.
Well done.
Okay.
All right.
We don't have prizes. We didn't think that far ahead. We don't really know what we're doing.
I
will tell you one thing.
In progress.
It's still a work in progress.
Yeah.
Scott from damn near in the ocean in Southampton.
Yeah.
You're in Southampton, right?
Just outside. I'm on like else. I'm in England somewhere.
Yes.
I don't know where
just
I am.
Outside of
Scott in England from somewhere in England, and Kinshada from Knoxville, Tennessee. Very specific. She's our winner for today. Uncle Noli loves you. Thank you so much. Guys, appreciate you joining us. We'll see you next time on whatever the hell we name this show.
Happy to be here.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank Appreciate you. It. Bye. That's it. We'll Bye, see you guys. Soon. Hey, guys, time for our photos on the bar for this week, the week of October 15th. Behind me, you will see Ray Behan. I believe Ray is in the blue hat. Looks very, looks like the flag of Sweden. I don't know why. It makes me feel Sweden. It's cold, icy. He could be in Georgia. I have no idea. Ray Behan. Mindy LaPree, right there in the middle. And, of course, Callum O90, Callum S. There's Callum with what looks to be, well, the picture I'm looking at, it looks like a shorter Hugh Jackman if he were a magician. He's in there. I don't know who that is. But it doesn't matter. That's Callum right there. Now, time for the member shout-outs as well. This week we have Skin Trade. Not sure what that means. Not making an accusation. Just a name. Skin Trade. The Incredible Kulk, Cass K, Walter Palacios, and Christopher Pering. Next up, Drew's Soup. We only have one, as we should, because Drew's Soup, it's gooey. Mad Mark's Madhouse, Mark R. You are just swimming alone in the Drew's Soup. And finally, at the Altered Beast. Yes, I didn't do it. Altered Beast. No, because it's at the Altered Beast level. We have Amanda Verling 13, Christine, who is Rogue Ace 6969, Michael McLean, and Sul Seve. Sul Seve, S-O-O-L-C-E-V-E. Sul Seve. Sul Seve. Sol Seve. I don't know. I love it, though. Sul Seve. That is the member shout out. And here is the member shout out for this week, October 15th, 2020. Paul? Prepare yourself. Ah! Woo! See you next week.
Retro Replay stars Nolan North and was created by PJ Harzma, Drew Lewis, and Nolan North. This episode was edited by me, Stephanie Judge, and mixed by Paul Bach. This show is listener supported. So, if you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, or join our community as a member on YouTube. You can choose from one of four tiers to support on a monthly basis. If you're currently a member, thank you for supporting and keeping this channel going. This show is brought to you by Red Bear Films and Retro Replay. I'm Stephanie Judge. Stick around for another episode, or we'll see you next week.